Yo, what up, it's Eric, a.k.a. the Baggage Handler, a.k.a. Catch a Case.
Yo, what up, it's Jeff, a.k.a. Helen Keller, a.k.a. So-So Deaf.
Yo, what up, it's Young Don Francisco, a.k.a. Oscar De La Goya.
And this is a waste of time with this, the real. Alright, Bodega Bams is here in our apartment, about to eat what, Jeff?
I made a salmon and papillote. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Okay, sounds good
is,
to me.
Yeah, it is salmon good. In parchment paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Martha Stewart recipe.
Nice. So the whole conceit of the podcast, by the way, was that we were gonna. So we said to the people we sold the podcast to, we're gonna have a podcast where we invite rappers over to our apartment and have a dinner party style conversation.
Right. But and the thing is that they put out a press release, and they changed it to we're gonna have a dinner party.
So
and
now we were it's like.
Fuck, we have to cook.
We have to cook now. But the best is that, like, a lot of people reached out to cook. But Jeff actually took the reins today and made this because...
I was like, if there's one rapper I want to cook for...
Gotta be Bodega Bams.
Wow, also, man. Is because I was like... Well, you originally said that that you didn't have any food allergies.
Well, we reached out to make sure because we didn't want to kill you. although you have a new project out, so if we killed you, you would have gotten better promotion, right?
Hell yeah. I actually need that, man. I would love to die right now.
So, new project is called Sidewalk Exec.
Mm-hmm.
Because you hang out on the sidewalk and you're an executive.
I mean, you know what's crazy? What's crazy is that I seen somebody say the other day, the streets ain't for everybody. That's why they make sidewalks.
That's pretty good.
You know what I'm saying? But I like the fact that I'm a cool nigga from the streets, and I say, man, fuck that. I'm from the streets, and I'm a sidewalk exec. You know what I'm saying? So that, like, I like the contrast. Like, man, fuck what y'all niggas saying. I'm going to name my shit sidewalk exec. And I don't want to name the guy who I seen. He's a very famous guy, but he's a dickhead. Everybody
was it
knows
Jeff?
Him.
Yeah, it was me.
Okay, actually.
It was Jeff. But nah, yeah,
when you said someone very famous, that's me.
That's right. But, I feel like part of it sort of, like, lends itself to you being an independent artist. You work on your own. You're out here, and you're the king of your own hill, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever... Obviously, you've had, like, meetings with, like, record labels, right? Like, majors have reached out to you.
Mm-hmm.
What are those meetings like? I mean, and also, when did it become... Because it really is. Like, whether it's Fool's Gold, whether it's...
Shout out to Fool's Gold. Yeah. Reached out to.
Whether it's all these, like, companies that are working on their own, it's cool to be independent in 2015. Like, it's not only... It doesn't only, like, make sense, but it's cool. So when did you get it in your head? You're like, I don't want to sign with a major, and it doesn't make sense for me and my team.
Well, I started saying I didn't want to sign with a major when I went to these fucking meetings, and I was sitting with these people and explaining my heart and my passion to these motherfuckers, and then I won't get a call from these niggas the next day. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it was wasting my time, and I hate to repeat myself and tell people what I'm about. And there was a lot of deals that I had, like, by word. It was going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, we already had a conversation. All we went for was for the paperwork, and something always never fell through. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember when I first got on the scene, like, Atlantic was hard on me. Atlantic was, like, on my tails.
Yeah. You know
what I'm saying? I took, like, 3 meetings with Atlantic, and for some reason never fell through.
How did they get in touch with you in the first place?
The A&R in Atlantic, I forgot. I think his name was Jeff too. He reached out on some like just real like fucking CIA shit because I'm so low, man. I don't put my email on Twitter. Like, it's real hard to find me. You know what I'm saying? But when you do find me, you got me. So he like one time showed up in my studio when I had a studio in Washington Heights. He just showed up one day like, yo, I want to sign you, this and that. I want to bring you in Atlantic. So you know he did the whole nine yards. They brought the fucking car service to me and shit like that.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? So I went there, and I sat with the I forgot the dude's name, but he's in Def Jam right now. Anyway, I sat with him. He went to Craig. He loved me. He went to Craig Kelman, who's the CEO, one of the CEOs over there. And he told Craig Kelman, he was like, yo, Craig, you need to sign this kid, yo. You're going to mess up if you don't sign this kid. This was 2012.
Yeah.
So you need to sign this kid. And Craig is also a dude that, you know, he helped Fat Joe and Terror Squad.
Right.
So I'm thinking, Craig, get it.
Yeah.
I'm a Latino and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I did three. I sat with Craig. Then I did a whole meeting with all the A&Rs. And I remember Young Jeezy was there. And Angelique was in there.
Right, because she was in A&R also.
Who else was in there?
Steve Carlos.
I think Steve Carlos was there.
Mike Kaiser
was there. It was a whole bunch of motherfuckers in there. So I'm sitting up there drinking a coffee. And shit don't get me nervous. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I do. So I'm talking to them. You know what I'm saying? I'm letting them know what they're doing. And I feel like the A&R that brought me in there, he didn't sell it right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like because A&R is important when they bring you in there. Whoever's bringing you in there, they got to sell it right. And I feel like he didn't sell it right. You know what I'm saying? So they never hollered at me and shit like that.
Really?
Yeah. So then, you know, during that time, I had, shout out to my nigga A-Track. I spoke to A-Track last week. That's my dude. A-Track, it was, you know, he was hitting me up. He wanted me to go to Fool's Gold. I remember he sent me a Fool's Gold, the Fool's Gold logo in a Puerto Rican colors. Puerto Rican, yeah.
That's dope.
So he sent it to me. That shit was dead fire and shit like that. But at the time, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just on my, like I said, I was just on some independent shit. Like, I want to build my own brand, this and that. But I respect people like A-Track, you know what I'm saying? Because he's still my homie after that. And the same thing with Duck Down. Like, Duck Down came to reach out to me in 2012. And like I said, I was still finding myself and still seeing, you know what I mean? Like, I was new on the underground scene. You know what I mean? I wasn't that successful as I am now. And they came back around. And you know what I'm saying? Drew High, that's still the homie. That's why. That's the reason why I got into business with Drew High now, because I like, to me, that was very honorable that even though we ain't do business back in the day, he ain't take it personal. Because business, niggas take shit personal. You miss a meeting. You know what I'm saying? Like, people take shit personal. So, but yeah, man, I did the whole nine, man. I remember fucking taking a meeting with Sylvia Rome when I forgot where she was at, and I had a meeting with her at 2:30. And I thought I was the shit. Like, fuck that. I'll go what I want. I got there at 2:35, yo. She canceled the meeting, yo.
Really?
Yeah, and I never forget that shit because to me, that humbled me. You know what I'm saying? Because that was like, you see, Bams, you can't be like that.
Right.
But I got there at 2:35 and she canceled the meeting because I wasn't at 2:30. And I never met her ever again.
Really?
This was in 2012. Yeah, man. And then, you know, I had a, and I never even spoke about none of this shit, too. I had a, I was supposed to have a deal with, RCA and Polo Grounds, you know what I mean? Yeah. With Rocky and everybody that.
Brian Leach,
yeah. Me and Brian Leach, we spoke. Ferg bummed me into the ASAP Mob Studios, and Brian Leach thought I was signed. Because I think a lot of people think that I'm signed, just the way I move and, you know what I mean? Like, so he was like, yo, so who you signed with? And I'm like, I ain't signing nobody. He was like, for real? I was like, nah, we gotta change that. So, you know, I was going to sign with Brian and Polo Grounds and RCA, you know what I'm saying? But then that shit didn't work out. And then at the time, Peter Schwartz, who's in the agency group, he was making his own label in RCA. And he told RCA, the first artist I want is Bodega Bams. But because of Brian fucking with me, he didn't want to step on Brian's toes.
Right.
So then I lost the shit with Peter. Man. And I'm still in the agency group, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Peter, that's my man. But I kind of lost that. And I lost the Brian shit. So after all this shit, bro, like, I was just like, man, fuck it, man. Like, you know, like, being from the hood, like, a record deal was an accomplishment. People want that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to sit and tell y'all niggas, I can't be underground forever. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no, underground has a ceiling. You know what I mean? I need the mainstream look. I need a building behind me because I feel like I have the talent and I have the charisma and I have just the whole team and the whole package of taking, broader my shit to the world. You know what I'm saying? But I could now, because of all the success I've garnered already in the underground level, I can actually go in these meetings and tell them what I want. I could give them like I could say, like, listen, this is what I want from y'all. This is X amount of dollars I want from y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's different when you fresh out the womb. That's how motherfucking artists get caught, because they don't have no work.
Right.
See, I already did everything on my own. I already have a co-founder on my own. So all I need is X amount of dollars and X amount of support from y'all niggas. Yeah. So I'm able to do that. You know what I'm saying?
It's almost like being an NBA player, but jumping from high school or going through college, and you have 4 years of experience there.
Right.
And so you're like Tim Duncan.
Right.
Like, you have all the, you know what you want, and you know what it takes to win.
Like, I remember one time I tweeted, I said being signed used to be a big deal. That was like big deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause that's how when I was coming up, you know what I'm saying, like 98, 99, listening to DMX, like, and they were down with Def Jam and Rockefeller. Like, being down with a fucking record label was the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was no underground motherfuckers. Right. Especially in New York.
Yeah.
So I would love to get a record deal one day. You know what I'm saying? I would love to be on the mainstream, but like I said, it has to be on my terms. Like, it was crazy that there was even rumors that Def Jam didn't want to holler at me because I was asking for too much, and I never even stepped in the Def Jam office. That's how crazy it was. Niggas was running up to me saying, "Yo, Bam, you know Def Jam saying you asking for too much." I'm like, "What? Who spreading these rumors?" You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. So, like, nah, but eventually, you know what I'm saying, we gonna get into that, you know what I mean? And but like I said, it has to be right, you know what I mean? It has to be, and most importantly, not even the money, just you want to be a part of somebody that they're going to believe in you wholeheartedly, you know what I'm saying? Because that's how you win, you know what I mean?
Back to the Sylvia Rhone thing, you were talking about how, like, you know, being places on time is so important now to you. And, you know, years ago, like, Noriega, we filmed a sketch with him where he was a door-to-door reggaeton salesman.
Mm-hmm. that was his way to get into our apartment, and then Capone was already here stealing our television.
But you know, he showed up, and he's probably the only other rapper who's, like, showed up on time for us.
He was early.
Yeah, he was early. He was here probably, like, half an hour early, and he was downstairs just chain-smoking cigarettes in our under our awning.
Yeah, because he didn't want to be, like, that guy who was here early. I think in any industry, as long as you're, like, a good person, people want to fuck with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a simple concept, and a lot of people just don't get it, like, flat out, you mm-hmm. know?
It's so important just to be a likable guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, in the behind-the-scenes shit, in the industry shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as, like, fans and shit, like, you would rather, well, me, I can only speak for myself, I'd rather be relatable. You know what I'm saying? But when the people who's act like, you know, the people who do interviews and the bloggers and the MTV press and... You gotta be likable to these motherfuckers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, cause niggas like shit like that, you know what I mean? Like, that shit goes a long way, you know what I'm saying? And as far as, like, being on time, like, I always, if I'm not on time, it's because I'm waiting for somebody else. Right. And I hate that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I know me and the Flatbush Zombies, we always on time. Like, I remember going on the road with Flatbush Zombies when we went on tour. We made every fucking, We made every sound check.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We were on time all the time. Like, our tardiness is on point. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, that shit is important too, man. Just being on time and shit. Like, I hate being late. You know what I'm saying?
That is the best brag I've ever heard. My tardiness is on point.
Feel me? Yeah. Feel me? Yep. You know what I'm saying?
A couple years ago, we put out a comedy rap mixtape, right? With DJ Drama. Mm-hmm. It was called Urbane Outfitters Volume 1. And we were rapping alongside, like, actual rappers like Bun B and Freeway and Lil Jon and Mano, right? And so we had to do this press run. And we would get everywhere on time. And it's a big, like, thing with us, too.
Yeah, because we're, like, we've been on the other side of it. And so we understand, like, that how shitty that feels to be, like, sitting there for 2 hours while, mm-hmm. you know, so, somebody like Yellow Wolf doesn't show up or whatever. Right.
So we decided to we had radio to do down in Philly,
right
with QDZ. He has a show down on one of the Philly Hot 107.9, I think so. And so we rented a zip car early. We drive down and we get stuck in the worst traffic on the New Jersey Turnpike, right? Both of our phones die or are on the verge of death, and we have, like, one last text, and we send it to QDZ, and we're like, yo, this is not like us, but we're, like, running late and we don't know how to get there, and, like, there's all this thing. And he was like, he was really, like, sweet with us and, like, really cool,
really
with
nice
the whole
about
thing.
It, but it was just, like, we feel terrible. And then he moved back his show somehow, and we, like, showed up, like,
an hour and a half later. But it was the worst. It was the worst feeling, because we couldn't do anything. We're stuck there, and we can't let anyone know.
Yeah, the man. Worst. That late shit, man. Like, you know, I can't, like I said, if I'm late, it's because I'm waiting on my team, man. And I be barking on my team, man. Like, yo, listen, man, I'm a professional, bro. Like, nah, man. Like, I hate this shit. I hate being late. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even like being fashionably late. That shit is corny to me. Right. Nah, be on time, my nigga. These motherfuckers be late for their own funeral, yo. For real, man.
How many people do you run with, by the way?
Oh, man, I run with a whole bunch of hooligans, man.
I'm
surprised
you can
ain't
tell
nobody
that...
even in here, man. You came dolo.
You can tell that we are tan boys, by the way.
Nah, definitely.
We actually have a rival, but, like, we get along, like, but we call ourselves the indoor boys.
Why?
That's just our movement.
Yeah, we're so pale.
Look
and,
at us.
You know,
like,
we don't get along
with
the sun.
We cannot.
Ah, that's funny. Indoor boys.
No, the best thing is that, like, your whole team rocks tan boys gear.
Yeah.
And you roll and people are like, they understand who you guys are.
Oh, I knew it was crazy. That's why people love me. Like, when I first came on the scene, like, people love the fact that I would mob to these events with 100 Latinos, you know? Niggas, like, just came out of Rikers Island. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people love that shit because they never seen shit like that before. It's 100 goons. Like, it's 100. Right. There's only one nigga that look fresh out of there. That's what they got, Bams and Ola. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else is there to protect. They're not there for the camera. They're not there to be cool. You know what I'm saying? So people used to love that shit. But even that, like, I had to calm that shit down. I remember the first time first time I headlined a show in New York,
yeah,
I sold it out. It was in Santos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This was 2013. That was my first headline show. Vice did it.
Yeah.
Noisy did it. And I remember, excuse me, that same day I had dropped my debut project, Shooty for My Poppies. It was October 17th. So I had the limo. I did it right. I had the limo. Like, so I had the limo. There was a long line outside. You know what I'm saying? So I had the limo and shit like that. So when we pull up, like I said, this shit is a dream come true to me. You know what I'm saying? Everything that I'm achieving, like, you know, you hope for it, but you don't see it. You know what I'm saying? Until it happens. So I'm seeing the line. I'm like, oh, shit. So I can't contain myself. So we had the flags. You know what I'm saying? So when we had the flags, one of the homies out of the sunroof, he jumped out the sunroof and started waving the flag. And we had tan bandanas on our face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's cops out there, so we rolling out the windows like, yeah, tan boys. Cops come, stop the car. What the fuck y'all doing with the fucking bandanas? Grabbing the bandanas off our face, trying to grab our flag and all that. Yeah, right.
Jesus.
So Pete, they cited they gave Noisy a ticket or Santos a ticket, and because of that day, Noisy has never paid me.
Really?
Yeah, I was supposed to get paid that show, and them niggas ain't never paid me.
Do
yo.
We have to go break someone's legs yeah, over yeah. at Noisy?
Yo, Indoor Boys is gonna be out here. Yeah.
Them niggas ain't never, but you know, shout out to Noisy, they always show me love. But that's the type of shit I'm on. Like, I'm just a parade when I come around. You know what I'm saying? Like, it needs to be bigger than what it is.
By the way, so we were all at this Bodega Misinfo and Vashti event.
Yeah, it was a Corona
boxing night. Yeah, and so I go up to Bams after he after you said something. You were hugging up Vashti.
Yeah,
and she left, and so I was like, "Yo, you have a line where you say I've done everything in New York except fuck Vashti." Does she know about that?
Yeah, she's a huge fan of that line. She definitely knows about that line. She tweeted that line. Yeah.
And then you fucked her.
I mean,
does she follow you on Twitter?
She doesn't follow me on
Twitter.
Okay.
I don't think she follows anybody, though.
Yeah.
But, as a rule?
Yeah.
Yeah, weird. I don't think she follows anybody, but I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Okay.
Bill Clinton voice. You know what I'm saying?
But you have hosted an event that she was at.
I definitely did. She, that's a beautiful girl, I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the homie.
That's good that she appreciates the line, too.
Yeah, yo, she got to. I'm hot out here. Like, it's poppy talk.
Before we got on the microphone, we were talking about Yams. And you knew Yams when he was just Stevie.
Right.
Was he East Side Stevie? Was he just Stevie?
East Side Stevie.
Yeah.
East Side Stevie. I don't know if y'all even noticed. A$AP Rocky's Twitter page used to be East Side Stevie. And they changed it to A$AP Rocky. So the Twitter page that A$AP Rocky has right now used to be Yams, East Side Stevie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So
that's how far I remember before I even met him, he was East Side Stevie. He used to retweet my music.
Yep.
Simultaneously, like, he used to a few times post my music on his real nigga Tumblr.
Yep.
And this is before I met him. He was like a ghost, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, like, I met him in 2011. It was weird because Smoke, you know Smoke Dizza?
Yeah.
He's coming here tomorrow.
He's coming here tomorrow.
Oh, man. Smoke Dizza, we went to school right here in Brandeis.
Crazy.
On 86th Street. Talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Right on the west side.
14, I know what you're doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to come by.
14. Actually, no.
1 o'clock.
Actually, you know what I'm saying? But this is what I'm saying. Like, so Smoke Dizza had a record called, shit with Rocky, when Rocky first came out. I forgot, Four Loko.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Rocky recorded it at my spot in Washington Heights. I had a studio and he brung Yams. And Yams was very quiet. He had Iceberg on. But we knew who he was because in the video, everything's purple video. Mad quiet.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to hide the
birthmark.
Yeah, it's hard to hide that. You know what I'm saying? So it was mad quiet. Rocky was the vocal one. Rocky came like, yo, Bams, I've been fucking with your shit. Yo, what's up? And he asked me about people, we mutual friends that we know and whatnot. Yams was old, very quiet. So he recorded the record, he left. And then a few weeks passed, and I just, you know, I hit him up one day. You know what I'm saying? He retweeted one of my records, and then that gave me the invite to hit him up. Because I was like, all right, you know what I'm saying? He fucked with me.
Yeah.
So I hit him up, and it was in 2011, and he replied. And And I actually posted the DM on my Instagram because it was just so, because I still had that DM in my Twitter. It was crazy. Yeah. And, you know, he's like, yo, like, I've been wanting to fuck with y'all. Like, you know what I mean? One of our mutual friends told me to fuck with y'all. Like, yo, anything y'all need. And from then and there, it was a wrap. And like a week after that initial conversation that we had through DM, he came back to my studio alone this time. He brought a 40. And, man, we were just talking all night, man, till like 7 in the morning. And from that, we just clicked up, man. Yeah. I was, like, every time he was in New York, I made sure I was with him, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I made sure I spoke to him, you know what I mean?
Was it as basic, like, the initial spark of the friendship?
Out. Yeah.
Was it because you guys had a similar sort of vibe upbringing? Musically? Or was it the upbringing?
I think it was both. I just think that he believed in me, you know what I'm saying? He believed in what me and Ola was doing. He believed in our style. He believed in our music. He was a fan, first and foremost. So once you're a fan, and then when you get to meet me, like, you love me, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm just a personable person. Like, I'm a cool motherfucker. So, mm-hmm. And he's the same way. So it was just electrifying, you know what I'm saying? Like, just me and that man and being in his presence, you know what I'm saying? Like, being having the honor to even be in that man's phone book. You know what I mean? Being able that he can call me. Like, we done ate together, drunk together, smoked together, talked shit together, got money together. You know what I'm saying? He done create opportunities for me. You know what I mean? So, it was, like I said, it was one of those things that when we first really got set, because like I said, when he came with Rocky, he wasn't really talking. But when we came back and we really got to sit with him, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was all over. Like, it was just like, yo, it's love. You know what I'm saying? It was just bigger than what it was. And like, and it became, it blossomed into a beautiful relationship. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, man, you know. But he was just, like I said, man, for anybody who really didn't, everybody knew who he was, but not people really knew him on a personal level. That was just one hell of a guy, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was a one of a one, man.
The first time we met him was, we were working for MTV, and we were supposed to interview Rocky, and this is right around the time of...
It was when Everything is Purple had just come out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Peso, I guess. And so he came through, and at the last minute, someone tipped us off that it was not just going to be Rocky, it was going to be him, 12E, and Yams.
And they're like...
And it's like 12 o'clock, by the way, like noon.
Yeah, and we're just like, I mean, I guess we could just, you know, pull the camera back and... Because Rocky would not do the interview without them, and we're like, mm-hmm. we're like, all right, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
When we only tailored our questions for Rocky, by the way. But then we're like, all right, let's open it up and have fun with it. And they come up there and
Yams was super drunk,
mm-hmm.
off of wine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think 12E was too.
Okay.
And possibly all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like. And obviously, like, Yams comes up to us. He's like, oh, the Max B video. He's like, that's my favorite thing in the world, right? Because we had done a Max B video where we went up to Max's apartment in the Bronx on Sedgwick Avenue, where we played Scrabble with him, right? And he used all of his words, wavy and ow, and all that.
Yeah, and he had no furniture in his apartment.
No.
And I got yelled at for not taking my shoes off on the carpet.
And Ron Artest was supposed to show up, and the business showed up, and...
I think that might have been it.
No, there was, what's the name from the Bay? Right. Mr. Fab. It was it was a weird night.
Yeah.
But anyway, Yams, like, from then on, fucked with us, like, on a personal level, to the point where he would text Jeff.
He texted me for, like, 3 months, and every single thing that he would text me was Ja Rule's face. But, like, it all made sort of sense in the conversation.
He was the picture king. He would send you the funny pictures. He was sending that, yo, oh, man, I got stories for days with that, man. He was sending Shawn Michaels pictures of Shawn Michaels making funny faces when he won the championship belt. We would make fun of other rappers. We would just fucking post. We would just zoom in on their heads. And, yeah, man, that was a special dude, man. That was a real special dude. Like I said, and like I said, like, just because of, like, you know, I came in this business, and it been a real struggle. You know what I mean? And once he got in my corner, like, you know, the shit started clicking, you know what I'm saying? And people started respecting me, and people started taking notice. So he was a very intricate part of Bodega Bams and the Tan Boys, man, you know what I'm saying? And he was one of those dudes, he calmed us down, too. Like, I was speaking about, you know, just always being tough and wanting to fight everybody. That was my mentality coming into shit, because I was just so protective over my music and
yeah.
shit, and just my brand.
Yeah.
And he was just one of those dudes that was like, yo, bro, you just got to be positive. Fuck all that bullshit. You know what I mean? Just to get this money. Like, he was one of those dudes that used to preach to us, and he was younger than me, but mm-hmm. I respected him into a level that I didn't care what the age was. He was knowledgeable. And he was one of the dudes that calmed me and Ola down. And what you see right now is just a countless speeches coming from Yans, man. Countless conversations. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Yeah, man. That was a yeah, that was my dude, man.
Yeah.
That was my dude.
So you use Instagram. You I follow you there. I think you're a great follow. But you do not follow anybody.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah, you and Vashti.
You're like Vashti.
But you guys are destined to be together. Yeah. But I was wondering.
I think me and Vashti would look hot together.
Yo, we should put it out into the atmosphere and just like the secret.
I just think I'm just too gangster for her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. Like, she need a thug, man. She needs somebody like Poppy, man. Like, for real. Like, I just keep her right. But anyway, what you were saying?
But I was gonna. I mean. Agree to all of that, but yep. But I was wondering, what is your Instagram experience like when you use Instagram? Mm-hmm. What do you see? Because you aren't following anybody.
Oh man, I'll be trolling, man. I'll be fucking.
No, you're also honest.
Yeah, man. I'll be fucking. What's it called? Harassing and all that, man. Because it's like, all right, the thing with the Instagram, man. I didn't want an Instagram.
Right.
I wanted to be one of those very mystique kind of rappers that I don't got none of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I hate even taking photos, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because there's so many ugly photos of me. And I'm so critical on that shit. You know
what I'm
saying?
Of course.
So, I didn't want an Instagram, and Ola forced me to get an Instagram. He was
fucking
like,
Ola.
He was like, yo, Bams, you got to get an Instagram. You know what I'm saying? You got to put your music out there. I was like, you got a point, man. Fuck it. I'm not a photographer. So I'm just going, I'm like, yo, I'm going to make one, but I ain't going to follow nobody if I have to do it. You know what I'm saying? And
that was your compromise?
Yeah, that was the compromise. So I made it. Behold, I had 500 followers, 1,000 followers, 2,000. I'm like, hold on, nobody catching on to this shit. I ain't following nobody back. She went to 10,000, 15,000, 20,000. Now we had 27,000, you know what I'm saying, with no followers.
Light 27,000.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I only got, I think it's like 97 pictures and shit like that. I don't post a lot of pictures and shit, so... But people will tell me all the time, like, yo, that shit is mad fire, Bands. You don't follow nobody. And I had, like, the other day, I was in the street. And, you know, a fan ran down on me, and he was like, yo, this is my Instagram. You follow me on Instagram.
No,
and I had to tell him,
yo,
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't follow nobody. And I was like, but let me explain, though. It's not because I'm on some high and mighty Hollywood rap shit. I'm a humble guy. This is the reason why. So I be explaining. Every time people want to follow back, I literally sit down there and explain to them.
But if Sylvia Roan was like, follow me on Instagram, you'd be like, well, right here. Yeah, no problem. Yep.
The one follow.
I might follow Sylvia Roan, man. For real, man.
So Eric and I, we just spoke at this Newark like high school last week. And all these kids, after we spoke at this career day, and we're like, by the way, like, we don't really have careers, but if you want lives like ours, sure, whatever. But these kids came up to us, and they were all just like, yo, please, please follow me back. And I'm just like, you're 14 years old. You do not want old man following you.
Like, they don't think about that. Like, this team follow back shit. Like, just not about that.
It's just numbers.
Yeah, but it's the validation. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, totally.
It's like, yo, I want the most followers in my class. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit is crazy, this numbers game, man. You know what I mean? Because then you see people that got hundreds of thousands of followers, and they fucking boring, and they're not even popping like that.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? This shit happens all the time.
Also, the worst people on the face of the earth are the people who get mad at you if you unfollow them.
Oh, yo. Oh, my God.
The worst.
Yeah.
I have people who have the fucking apps on their phone who they know who unfollows them. You know how corny that is?
That's so corny.
I got approached, and it was just, like, the worst.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I just stand there. I'm just, like, I don't... Like, and he goes,
oh my God,
it really hurt my heart.
This is a dude.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
This shit is so, like, yo, I didn't have these conversations so many times. Like, I didn't have to tell people, like, yo, are y'all niggas for real, yo? We talking about Twitter right now? Have my number. That's what I tell people.
That's the worst.
You have my number.
Yo, follow me back so I can DM you. No.
Yeah.
You can text me.
Exactly.
Or email me like a human being.
I know. Yeah. Or talk to me.
Yo. Right.
That's the
for
worst.
For real, man. Like, nah, they... Oh man, that shit is crazy, man. It's even worse when the bitches do it too.
Oh, it's bad out there.
Yeah, man.
So wait, so how did the fan recognize you in the street?
Yo, what's crazy is that, man, I be so low that these people, they have like they probably have my posters on their wall because it was crazy, right? When I first came in this game and shit like that, I was recognizable by my beard and this tattoo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So people recognize that shit.
Or maybe they saw, like, you had a razor in your mouth. I don't know.
Maybe they see that, too. You know what I'm saying? Or by the ear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but then I realized that I'm not one of those dudes that I got my chest out, and I'm like, I'm boy, they got Bams. I, like, I have a hat real low. I have a hoodie on.
Yep, right. Yep.
So it always surprises me that people be noticing me and I be so low. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't even, I don't know why. It's almost like I got one of those faces, man, that is just like instantaneous. Like, that's where they got bands. You know what I'm saying? And then you get some of the people that be like, yo, are you Bams, yo?
And you got recognized downstairs in our building by our doorman.
Yeah, shout out to the doorman. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the doorman. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm like, I try to be so low, man. Like, I'm not one of those dudes that, you know, like, I love that I'm popular and people appreciate me and shit like that. But like I said, man, you know, you wanna cherish these like kind of moments of just being a regular person, because maybe next week I might be the most famous person in the world and I will never be able to get that back. Like, I could imagine how the lives of some of these famous people are. Like, it's probably so fucking hectic and boring, and they can't do normal shit.
Like, you've been around Rocky, around...
And by the way, I was watching Rocky's thing with Elliot Wilson that he did down at Spring Studios during Fashion Week, or Tribeca Film Festival.
Right.
And he said that he values that time when he wasn't famous, because you can't get that back.
Like, there's no chance that he's, like, on the subway anymore. There's no chance that he can just, like, walk down the street and nobody's, like, noticing him.
Right.
Like I said, like, you're never going to get those times back. You know what I'm saying? You're never going to remember, like, damn, I could just walk into a fucking barbershop and nobody know who I am.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, but, yeah, so I try to, you know, keep those moments alive and stay humble as much as I can, because I know eventually it's not going to last. You know what I'm saying?
So who are some of the real dudes who you can, like, have real conversations with? Like,
in terms of rappers?
Yeah, rappers. Ferg's got to be one of those guys, right?
Shout out to Ferg. Ferg, I always make fun of the way Ferg talks. me and my brother. Ferg, because Ferg be like, yo, Bams, what's up? Bams, I miss you. Yo, we always making fun of the way Ferg talks. That's my bro.
Such a
man.
Good dude, though.
Yeah, that's my dude. That's
all the ASAP guys are just, like, way polite.
Yeah.
Good kids, man. Yeah. Ferg, Flatbush Zombies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my man, Remy Banks. You know Remy Banks from World Fair?
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. And we have great conversations. That's really about it, man. Just, you know, just I really don't, like, I know a lot of rappers, man, but
Do you keep a business with them then?
Keep a business with who? Like,
with other rappers then.
Or
do you try to have, like, let's just say, for example, like French Montana, you guys are sitting down.
French Montana is I met French Montana a few times.
Yeah.
I'm real close with his manager, Gabby.
Oh, Gabby? Yeah.
Yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy. Yeah. Like, French
Montana. Broke a camel's back. Do you know that?
He broke a camel's back.
Yeah. They were out in Morocco and he sat on the back of a camel. Gabby's like a huge Gabby, guy. And he sat on this camel and the camel just, like, whinnied and died.
No, yo, and Gabby is an unbelievably funny dude. Oh, man. He's just a hilarious dude. But yeah, I'm not even gonna say, like, business, because I'm not one of those dudes either who thinks he's the shit. Like, I just try to be cool with everybody, but just on a personal level, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you gotta choose people wisely and shit like that. You know what I mean? And you just can't deny people you click with. Like, you're gonna click with people as soon as you meet them. You know what I'm saying? Those are the people that have my number. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I gotta meet you 4 or 5 times before we actually have a good conversation, then it's not really worth for us to be knowing each other. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, the guys I really came in this motherfucker with, the guys that, you know, I speak to, like, you know what I mean, just bullshit. Like, like I said, you know, with Yams, just sending the funny little pictures, like, you know what I mean? Like, we just do shit like that, make fun of other rappers. Like, don't think rappers don't do that. Niggas make fun of other rappers, man. Like, make fun of other bitch singers. We make fun of the bitches we fucked that we both know we fucked at the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
you
fucked her once and now I fucked her up next week, you know what I mean? Like, this shit is crazy. You know what I'm saying? For real. That was one thing me and James used to do too. We used to fucking
you're the same type of girls?
Yeah, we used to bang the same kind of girls and I'd be like, yo, I fucked this bitch. But like, I fucked her too. I'm like, oh man, this is my nigga. Nah, we used to talk about that too. Word.
So your dad was a super, is a super.
Yes.
I wanna hear your best super stories and I wanna trade our best super stories.
Yeah. Oh man. Yo, it's so many, man. First of all, my dad has an accent, you know what I'm saying? And my dad don't know how to talk to people. So when he knows English, but when he gets mad, he yells at everybody. And there was a particular time where he yelled at the wrong person.
Oh.
And I'm in his house, and I'm just laying down early in the morning. I hear him say, He said, you don't follow the rules. He said, I tell you, put the, he said, you can't bring it in the fucking, he don't curse. He said, you can't bring it in the, he said, you can't bring the furniture through the elevator. You have to go to the service elevator. So the dude saying, this is like a black dude, you know what I'm saying? He's like, he's a young dude, you know what I mean? He like, the fuck you talking to, yo? You know what I'm saying? So as soon as I heard that, I boom, out the door. You know what I'm saying? Because my father, he's a Christian man. So my father is one of those dudes. He's a great guy, but he doesn't know. He's from not from his country. He's from DR, so he talks loud, and he doesn't know how to talk to people politely. So I'm trying to explain to him, like, yo, Bob, man, somebody going to want to fight you, man. Yeah. So that was one of those instances where I heard a dude cursing at him. Me and my brother Ola ran out there, and then he shook up. You already knew, like, yeah, you got young sons. Nigga, what's up? Another time, it was a fire department dude. It was a fireman. They had to break one of the doors in the building, and my father is a dude that he hates when servicemen and movers and fire department, they go through the front.
Yeah.
He wants them to go to the service entry, which is you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And through the service elevator.
Because they don't want you to fuck up the nice elevator.
Exactly. Yeah. So these motherfuckers are bold, and one time the fireman, they go through the fucking service, they go through the front entrance, dirtying up of the lobbies and all that. So my father once again yelling at the motherfucking fireman, "What the fuck, man? What?" not cursing, my father. He's like, "What are you doing? This is my building. I run this building. Get out of here." Fireman again, like, "What the fuck you talking to a white dude? Like, who the fuck you talking to?" Me and my brother Ola run up again, run out the door. So I remember the fireman. This time he was outside. That's how loud he was yelling. It was right in the front, and he was yelling so loud that we ran out. When we ran out, the fireman see me and my brother again, some little thugs, you know what I'm saying? He was like, oh, the white guy. And I could see him looking at me through his peripheral. He was like, what you going to do? He was like, what you going to do? He told me and brother, what you going to do? You know what I'm saying? But my father's one of those dudes, man. Like, he's always, we always come to the rescue. I'm surprised my father, nobody punched my father in his face, man. For real, because he's just a jackass sometimes, man.
Does your father, like, know all, like, the sort of secrets of the building?
Hell yeah. My father, this is his dream job.
Okay.
Yeah, like, he wanted to be a superintendent, you know what I'm saying? Like, he came to this country in I believe, 82. Came to this country. And, no, he became to this country in, like, 81, 80. Mm-hmm. And he was a taxi driver first. And he got robbed a few times, he was telling me.
Jeez.
And then after that, he used to work in a factory, like, because he was illegal at the time. And my father's name is Placido De La Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Nathaniel De La Rosa.
Yeah.
My father had to come to this country under a different name. His name was Simon Diaz.
Really?
Yeah. So he worked in a factory, you know what I'm saying? And he told me one, he got a revelation from God that God spoke to him one day, and he was like, Placido, in Spanish. He was like, Placido, why are you hiding? Like, why are you hiding? You know what I'm saying? Because his name was different. He was like, why are you hiding from me? And my father said that he broke down and he cried. And my father said that after that, then he started going through the right process of trying to get his citizenship.
Hmm.
And during that time, he met my mom, who was an American citizen. She's Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
And old Puerto Ricans, they don't like Dominicans because of that.
Right.
Because a lot of Dominican men, they come to this country just for the citizenship to marry somebody American, and then they leave them. So they automatically thought that's what my father was going to do. So they hated my father, my Puerto Rican side. They hated that motherfucker. So, like I said, he married my mom in 84. He had me in 85, and then, you know, he got his citizenship like 10 years later. And my father was like a trailblazer, man, because my father was the first person in his family to come to this country. Right. I have 55, 60 cousins.
Whoa.
I mean, I have 6 aunts. I have 4 uncles. You see, I have a grandma who's still alive. She's 89 years old.
Wow.
He was the first person of his family to come to this country. And then now I got uncles over here that live here. I got cousins over here that live here.
That's
so he was like a trailblazer and shit like that. But my, like I said, my pops, man, he, and that's like, you know, this is even off topic, but that's where I get my work ethic from. You know what I mean? Just my Dominican father, because Dominicans, they work, they bust their ass.
Yeah.
And they work hard. They work hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so my father became a super, that was his dream job, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he wanted all his life. Like, rent free. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
God,
it's phone bill free. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted that. And just to see the process of my father getting to that, like, it's almost the same thing as what I do in the music. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. just the levels I had to go through to get to where I'm at right now. And I'm still going, I still have to go through levels to get in the higher level. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I take a lot from my father as far as, like, the work ethic. You know what I mean? Just busting your ass and always giving 110%. Because my father's one of those dudes that he's a super and he's a 100% honest super. Like, it's easy to steal money when you're a super.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy. It's so easy to do the... To go through the loopholes of... It's just so easy to do a lot of legal shit. And yeah. he's one of those dudes that are 100% legal, truthful, super. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like, it's, like I said, you can put extra hours when you don't work.
Right.
Nobody's going to send them to super. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, he doesn't work. He doesn't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And even the first year he became a super, he won super of the year for his company.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? His company has, like, I think, like, 90 supers, 100 supers. They have over 300, 400 buildings.
Man.
So he won Super of the Year
yeah,
in 2001. Awesome.
By the way, where do you go from there then? Like,
yeah.
You guys got to win it every year.
You know what's crazy? I wish he two-peated it. You know what I'm saying? I wish he three-peated. You know what I'm saying? But he won it one time.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But he has the fucking plaque on the motherfucking wall. Super of the Year, Plácido de la Rosa.
That's dope.
Yeah, man.
We have our super. We've been living in this building for 8 years. And
what's the nationality of your super?
He's Puerto Rican.
All right,
you know, because there's three different kinds of supers. There's Puerto Ricans, there's Dominicans, and the Albanians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
The Albanians, they run through everything, my nigga.
Right.
they trying to get all the Latinos out of the fucking building, man.
No, ours is Puerto Rican. He's been here for God, like 30 years or something like that. Like, they changed ownership probably like 8 years ago or 9 years ago, right? And you know, fixed up the building and really, you know, brought it up to code and everything and made it like a real desirable place to live.
Right.
He is an old school guy who loves to yell, who knows all the gossip.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Oh, man.
So, like, and also, like, I think, like, maybe the first time he heard about what we do, and he was just like, "Oh, you guys are comedians. You need to come down to my basement. You need to meet my macaws. And you need to move my fish."
Yeah, you need to film all this stuff. And we're like, we just moved into the building. We're like, I guess this is what it is, right? So we jump in the elevator. We go downstairs, and the fish have like outgrown the tank. They're like giant.
They're so huge. They're all gray, and they like the tanks are like unlivable. But like they're all there, and they're huge. And then there's these two giant macaws, which are just like the loudest things ever.
These big like
parrots.
Yeah, most incredibly colored, like one's like bright green, the other one is like bright red birds that are not in cages down there. They just like hang out.
Oh my God.
And then they just
there was like a few years where they would hang out by the front desk. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like also when one of his sons, who's the porter here, when he vacuums, it has like a handle on it, and so that's where the macaws sit.
Oh,
so it goes from floor to floor.
And every time you hear the elevator go up and down, you hear like the birds, like you know, just like sort of.
Yeah,
he fired a bunch of doormen so we could install his sons
father
as
the
doormen.
Thing. Yeah, my father did the same thing. Yeah. You got to pass down the profession to
yeah,
your son.
Yeah, for sure.
My father wanted me to be a super so bad, man. He tied him a rapper, man. You know what I'm saying?
So okay,
does he get what you do?
It's kind of hard to answer that because, like I said, number one, he's a Christian dude.
Yeah.
Mm. And number two, like...
So he likes Lecrae.
He loves Lecrae. He bought his album twice, you know what I'm saying? But he's a Christian
one
dude.
One physical copy, one on iTunes.
Yeah,
on
iTunes. Yeah. He's a Christian dude. His English is broken, you know what I'm saying? So he doesn't understand the actual business of rap and what makes a person successful. In his mind, he just think... You got money, you successful and shit like that.
Right.
So he doesn't know his son is mad nice and rapping. He don't know his, like, he could look at a video, he won't be like, my son's creative. Like, it doesn't process like that way to him or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
did you see you roll up in the limo?
Nah, he wasn't there. But he's super supportive, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, he just happy his kids, you know what I'm saying? We end up in jail and end up dead, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And he always tells me, like he just wants me to have my own life and my own future and shit like
That's
that.
That's great,
so,
then.
And my mom, like, you know, they divorced and shit,
mm-hmm.
like, 6 years ago and shit. And my father remarried with a Dominican woman. My father's crazy. He went to DR and you know, my father's a bugged out nigga, man. I want to make a movie about my pops. All right. That's how ill he is.
And your brother can direct it.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Because my father told me, my mom and my father split, like, 6-7 years ago, right? My father told me that... You know, he's looking for a woman because, like I said, my father's Christian, so he can't have sex out of marriage because it's fornication.
Okay.
And that's how he lives, you know what I'm saying? So he goes to DR, and one of his cousins is a pastor in DR. And this is how he said he met his wife. He said he went to DR, he spoke to her a few times on the phone. He went to DR one time, and went to his pastor's, his cousin's, who's a pastor's church. And the cousin tells him, "So Placido, what woman you like?" And my father was like, "You know, I don't know." He said, "Placido, look, pick anyone." He said, "Pick any woman you like, Placido." So I'm thinking to myself, I know where the whorehouse is. I've been to a whorehouse. You know what I'm saying? Like, so my father was like, "Yeah, he told me to pick whatever I want." He said, "Placido, what you want? You want a woman with kids? You want a woman who's skinny? You want a woman who's old? You want a young woman?" So he's literally like writing down an invisible pamphlet of what kind of woman he wants, my nigga. And he went to DR, out his wife, and this is his wife now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
did he pick one of the ones with kids?
She had no kids. I got a 3-year-old sister.
Yeah.
He just had a fucking daughter with
crazy
his new wife and shit like that. Like I said, my pops is an ill dude, and you know, him and my mom, because of that, they don't talk. They just bitter behind each other. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And she told me, you know, she sent him, my mom actually surprised, I had a release show in SOBs for my album 2 weeks ago. My mom came, she'd never been to one of my shows. And she came and she surprised me and shit like that. And she texted my father pictures of, you know, of me and my brother on stage. And she, you know, just telling her, like, you should be proud of your son.
That's dope.
That you, even though, like, you might not agree with the kind of content that they're doing, but there's a lot of positivity in what they do, you know,
which
is true.
Yeah,
and I try to explain to him one time about that. I'm like, "Yo, pa, like, it's the same thing like a boxer. Like, you know, a boxer could be Christian, but this is his profession."
I
feel like God has an understanding of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, I was raised in church, and I know about the Bible, and I know what the Word says and shit like that.
Yeah.
So according to the Word and the Bible, I might be doing something that God it doesn't appeal to, the God I believe in. But I'm trying to explain to him, like, "Yo, Bob, but, like, you know, my heart and my mind are two different things." You know what I'm saying? My mind, if my heart is pure and I have a loving heart and I just love what I do to make music, make people feel good and just speak the real, like, I'm not out here inciting riots. I'm not out here telling people to shoot this person and that person. I'm just giving you the realness of life of what I've been through.
Right.
So, like I said, it's kind of complicated to explain to him because, like I said, maybe if I explain to him in Spanish, and my Spanish ain't really that good, he made me understand a little bit better, but He's supportive in, like I said, in the fact that he knows his son his sons are successful.
Yeah.
We make money on our own. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's all that really matters to him. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
dope.
And you know, he knows how hard is it for a fucking a Latino and shit like that. He knows how hard this business is in general. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you see it on the news and all that shit. But I wanna I'm actually writing a fucking screenplay right now, man.
Really?
I wanna make it into a movie. I want to hopefully direct it, and I want to star in it and all that shit.
That's dope.
And when this turns into a show or just a movie or just whatever, a YouTube, whatever it is, I want to write a story about the stories of a super. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that shit is just so...
For sure.
Because they're never ending.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is the perspective of a super? Like, the fucking tenants, how horrible they are. And you know what I'm saying? Or super going upstairs to the roof and seeing a woman change and doesn't know when he has to look away or not.
By the way, Ramon told me about that. also, Ramon, one time, he came in here, like, I guess he has a key. And he wasn't, like, invited or anything. He came in... And we had a friend over from California, and we were watching Jimmy Fallon, and he was interviewing Danny DeVito. And Ramon comes in, and he just goes, "Yo, Danny DeVito's one funny motherfucker."
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Nah, that's what I'm saying. It's shit like that. Like, that's why, like, I'm writing, like I said, like, I'm because I do the rap shit, and I want to conquer the rap shit, but I want to get into the movie shit. I want to write my own screenplays, and I think that shit will be so intriguing and relatable. Building a show around a super,
you know
what I'm saying? Shit, somebody might just take my shit now after they hear this motherfucker, man. You know what I'm saying? But we gonna know we got it first. And yo, I never get mad. I'm one of those dudes that I don't get mad when people steal ideas.
Really?
Nah, I don't, because I feel like when you get mad when somebody steals an idea, it's because you're limiting yourself that you can't make another one.
No, you're right.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I trust me when I tell you, this rap shit, there's nothing original in the sun.
Right.
So even the little originality you have, you have to tell yourself, nah, I can make it better. I can do something even fire. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's the mentality that I really have.
We did a song that we were going to put on our first mixtape, but we're going to put on another one coming up we sent out to get a feature from a humongous rapper, right? Sent it to his camp, didn't hear anything back, and we're like, all right, well, fuck it, you know, and we'll just move on with ours. We were in a listening party at a label, you know, listening with, like, all these journalists and different people, and a song just like ours, different title, different beat, but the same concept, like, yeah, the whole thing came out, and we're just like, motherfucker, like,
yeah. And he's sitting right there.
Like, yeah, this guy got us, but now we're just like, fuck it, like, it's been enough time, we can just put our own spin on it.
Yeah, and exactly, when you're a creator, man, like, you're gonna get that, bro. That, it's very hard. It's like, if you don't want nobody to copy your shit, you might as well just live under a rock.
Right.
Because it's when you're a creator and you're an inspirer, people are going to take from you, yo. They're going to take the littlest shit. You can't get mad at that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because once you're a creator, you're going to create forever.
Yeah.
You're going to continue to create. That's how I look at shit. Like, I'm a creator. I'm not limited to one idea.
You know Did you know you were a creator in a broad sort of aspect in high school?
Nah. I didn't even know what creative meant in high school. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just too busy fucking shit up in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to fuck bitches in high school. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't even get to fuck no bitches. I lost my virginity when I was 18 years old, so that didn't work out.
You did not go to high school with Vashti.
Nah, I didn't. I didn't even finish high school. I got fucking... They kicked me out when I was 15 years old. So
really?
Yeah, I was in high school for a year and a half, man. And then I tried some GED programs, and then it didn't work out. I felt like school was too slow for me.
That's valid. That is.
It wasn't because I couldn't do the work. It was just, yo, school is just too fucking slow. I got to wake up at 8:30 in the morning, then be in the classroom for an hour till 3. Like, it was just boring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
what did you do in those, besides the GED, yeah. Like, what did you do for 3 years?
So, drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just ran the streets rampant, like, and just.
You were a sidewalk exec.
I was definitely being prepped.
You went to sidewalk prep.
Yeah, I went to sidewalk prep. Hell yeah. Graduated with honors. But yeah, man, just doing dumb, like, yeah. When I wasn't in school, I was just hanging out in the streets all night, man. You know what I'm saying? Fucking drinking Chinese iced tea on the corner. The $2 one with the big ass fucking bottle.
So what happens now when you run into, like, people you sold to? Like, is there sort of an unsaid, like...
Oh, nah, I think everybody I sold to is dead, man.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because I wasn't selling weed, you know what I'm saying? I was selling hard drugs, you know what I'm saying? So, you had, like, because it was so hard, because, you know, there was so many people getting arrested and getting locked up for selling drugs that it was almost to a point where you will only sell drugs. Like, for example, if you're going to sell crack, like, I will only sell crack to a fiend if his teeth was fake.
Yeah.
Because I knew a cop can't make fake teeth, you know what I'm saying?
So
it was just that, you know what I'm saying? And like, but you know, like I said, like, I'm just glad that, you know, because it was, there's a difference between a drug dealer and a hustler.
Yeah.
And people don't really understand it. I'm explaining what the difference is. A drug dealer is a person that's his 9-to-5. That's all he does. Mm. He wakes up in the morning. This is how he provides for his family. This is his profession. A hustler is a dude who hustles drugs just to get a pair of sneakers.
Yeah.
Just to get a meal in his belly. Just to get a new fancy jacket.
Yeah.
I never got to become a drug dealer because I was more on the hustler shit. You know what I'm saying? Because not only was I hustling. I was hustling everything. I would hustle clothes. I would hustle whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, but when I think about drug dealers, I think about niggas like Tony Montana.
Yeah.
I think about, you know, those fictional characters. I think about whoever's a bona fide drug dealer. I think about Nicky Barnes. These are drug dealers. These are not hustlers. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people get these things confused. Like, niggas be thinking that because you sell weed, you a drug dealer. Like, I don't look at it like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, it depends on how much.
It definitely depends how much
your
revenue is.
But that's, like, the difference between, like, a career and a job. You know, like, you're in a job for a couple years or whatever, and then you move on to something else, whereas a career, you're like, oh, I'm going to be the head, you know, insurance guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And just do my times of just finding myself and just being on the streets. Like, I done seen so much things. You know, I done seen so much shit. You know what I'm saying? I done seen so much money. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, like, money in my pocket.
Right.
I done just seen so much money in my vicinity. Like, I done seen so much shit. You know what I'm saying? And so much shit. Like, so, I said, you know, and at the same time, I was battling in the street, you know, rapping niggas in the hood and shit like that. But I didn't know what being a creator was and being creative. I always knew that there was something in me that I always had it though. Like yeah. I hate to like toot my own horn, but like I feel like I have the character that when I walk into a room, it's all eyes on me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and it's not the all eyes because I'm wearing the brightest jacket. It's because that just energy just calls everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a difference too between that. Like, you can have all eyes on you, but most of the time it's because people are wearing the most outlandish shit. So right.
So you're not just rolling up in a limousine with two guys and some flags. You're not going to back that up.
See, but that was would never do that.
Yeah, but that was outlandish. You know what I'm saying? You going to get one of those times where you want to show out. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? So then you know what's crazy is that now, you know, being in a position that I am right now and just making music and shit like that, I get to talk to a lot of people from the past that they knew me before, but they got bams. They knew me as Nathaniel, and they tell me things that it opens my eyes to a point where I'm like, wow, so this is what led to this.
Yeah.
Like, I had a conversation with one of my friends who I haven't seen in about 17 years. You know what I'm saying? And we got in contact through Instagram. And one of our
you
first
don't follow her.
No,
I don't follow her, nah. But I DM'd her saying, are you such and such? You know what I'm saying? So she was like, yeah. And this was one of my closest friends growing up. Like, I knew her since kindergarten. And she was telling me so many things about me that I forgot, that it was like, wow, so now I know this is a destiny. This is just not I rolled out of bed and became that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you got to understand that the only people that's going to tell you things like that are people that are on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to forget about all right, I first started doing a comedy shit at this age, but what drove that?
Right.
It's always going to be somebody's outside perspective. And I remember she told me, she was like, I remember when you was like 10 years old, yo, and you told everybody, yo, I'm going to be a rapper. Yo, I'm going to be a famous rapper. And everybody laughed at you. And I said, yo, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And it's little things like that. I'd be like, wow. And she was like, yo, I remember you always used to, it was these little things like you used to rap in the classroom and shit like that. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, so it went that far back?
Crazy.
At 10 years old? You know what I'm saying? But that's how... Like, even with your moms, like, with your parents and shit like that, they're going to tell you things about yourself that's going to make you be like, oh, I was always on some creative shit.
Yeah.
I was always leading up to that type of
shit.
Yeah,
totally.
But it's very informative, and it's very fire to have those people bring up those things in the past, man. Because, like I said, it just makes you, all right, man, see, I know where I came from, man. This is not a hobby. I was supposed to do this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Man.
So wait, so you have lived on the Upper West Side for how long?
Nah, I was born and raised on the Upper East Side, Spanish Harlem.
Right, yeah, but now you live here.
I live here. I've been here since I came off tour. I came off tour, and last tour I was on was on Danny Brown tour in 2014. So I had a spot in Washington Heights, and I didn't want to renew the lease.
Yeah.
Because I was on the road so much, and they were raising my fucking rent every month and shit, some weird shit, yeah. And then 2 weeks before I even left that shithole, there was a fucking rat in my crib.
Nope.
A rat.
Done.
Yeah, nah.
Now, listen.
Nope.
I was born and raised with mice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Born and raised with roaches. I know about that living. But a rat, I'm not going to have an animal in my crib. That's right, fucking mammal. That's something that's in the museum, bro. I'm not going to have no motherfucking rat in my crib. There was a rat in my motherfucking crib. Yo, Ola killed the rat.
Oh.
With a fucking broom, yo. We smacked the shit out of that.
Shouts to him.
I know,
shout
yeah.
to Ola.
Yeah.
And while he's hitting it, he's hitting it in a rage. Like, he feels disrespected that the rat is there. That's how bad it is. Like, motherfucker! he's whacking. Like, now I know the term where whack comes from. Yo. Like, you're whacked.
Yeah.
We whacked the shit out of that rat. We whacked that motherfucking rat, bro. So after that, and then you know what's crazy? I put a fucking Poland Springs gallon of water right next to it, and the fucking rat was almost as big as the fucking Poland Springs, the length size.
Nasty.
Nasty.
Well, hopefully your new place is not like that.
No, hell, you know what I'm saying? I'm by Central Park now. I got a little bit of money, you know what I'm saying? So, all y'all ladies, you know what I'm saying? If y'all listening to this, you know what I'm saying? Come
this
find me.
This is a hip-hop podcast. Right. No ladies are listening.
I did see somewhere where you said that you'll have a big tour announcement coming soon.
Yeah.
It's not something you can announce here, can it? Or is it?
I mean, I'm definitely going to be on the road in the summer.
Okay.
I don't want to say with who, you know what I'm saying, or what's a part of, you know what I'm saying, because it's still on paper.
Gotcha.
It's still being negotiated and shit like that, but...
But But shout out to Peter Schwartz.
Shout out to Peter Schwartz. Shout out to Jonathan Brick. Shout out to my nigga Josh Dick. Even though Josh,
yeah,
even
that's
though,
our guy.
Even though Josh Dick
he's
left us,
I know, living
even
in
he
Seattle,
left, even though he left us.
Yeah, but shout out to him because he has a kid now, like a second kid. So,
yeah. But yeah, but that yeah, Josh Dick. Oh man, I love that man.
He's the
man.
Best.
Yeah, I love that man. He was
he's a dick.
Yeah, he's definitely a dick. But that's y'all, man. That's my guy, man. Like he was
also
a
wait,
big
what
believer.
Did Yams? Do you know what he does? What Josh does on? Oh, I know what you're gonna say, but do you know what Josh does on the side? Like for 10 years?
Nah.
He's done hip hop karaoke
at Brooklyn Bowl.
At Brooklyn Bowl, he runs
it. He and a friend. Yeah.
And they like have people come up, and it's like a huge thing, and like they all perform to vinyl, and it's just instrumentals. Like it's not even like they have like karaoke where it's like the backing track or words in front of them or anything. It's
so
like,
people are waiting there for hours to get up there and
just,
spit,
and just
like,
perform like you know,
deep cover and whatever. Yeah. You know?
Holy shit! Yeah. Nah, I never knew that.
Yams. Would text Josh Dick, and they never called him Josh Dick. They called him. What was it? Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was like Josh Penis, but it wasn't that. It was something else.
Something like that, because they couldn't like get themselves to call him Josh Dick.
Yeah. Nah, I feel comfortable saying that shit too, man. It's just a comfortability, like Dick, like you know what I'm saying. But nah, Josh, that's my.
He's
guy,
the man. He's a great guy. Sidewalk Executive is in stores. It's in. The iTunes store, it's
Amazon,
everywhere.
Amazon. Yeah.
Is it on Tidal?
No, it isn't.
Is it on Spotify? I
haven't checked it.
All right. Yeah, well, you have Tidal, right? You got that free...
I do have a free subscription. Jay-Z has not called me.
Okay, well,
very
it's
rude.
It's definitely
yeah.
on Spotify, though. Not all right. Spotify, but yeah, I'm going to check that Tidal shit out, man.
Well, we so appreciate you coming over.
Yeah, and we have to hang out on the Upper West Side.
We do.
Around here.
Yeah. Good old fish, man. That good old fish.
Oh, yeah. Good job with
good
the fish,
job,
Jeff.
Fish,
I
man.
Didn't get anybody sick, I hope.
No, yeah.
Good job, man.
Right before we go, though, I do want to say the only other rapper I've seen walking around the Upper West Side was Juice from the Flatbush Zombies.
Shout out to Juice.
I saw him with a Whole Foods grocery bag. And I was just like, this is like right when they came out, and they're like weird dudes, you know, like on stage, you know, they're like totally zonked out of their minds. And then to just see him doing a very normal thing was just like the weirdest thing ever. I was like, this totally takes everything, I thought.
Yo, yeah, exactly. Like, he's one of those dudes, yo. Juice is just, yo, super organic eater. Like, he would go to Whole Foods. Like, you would never see Juice eat nothing ghetto. Like, and he's from the ghetto. It's so weird. But that's how
inspirational.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. They're super inspirational.
Well, Bodega Bams, we really appreciate you.
Yes.
I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
And that's Bodega Bams. This has been a waste of time, but it's the real.
Thanks for wasting time with us.
Yeah.